2 Timothy chapter 3, hear now the word of our Lord. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such things turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast known fully my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and thou hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise under salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Because all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen.
Today, as we enter this Advent season, I want to speak with you with regard to 40 different prophecies that are relative to a baby in a manger. This time of year, we are continually deluged with exhortation to return to God or to believe God. We hear it on radio, TV, in the religions, printed constantly, return to God. However, all of this encouragement is fatal and vain unless it is rectified and modified, because there is no gospel of God save one, and that is the gospel of its Son, a baby in a manger 4,000 years ago. This is expressed most forcibly by Paul there in 1 Timothy. We won't go there, but 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, Paul says, "For there is one God, one mediator, also between God and man, himself man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." This in itself is all above is the needful message of the day. Why? One mediator, this baby in a manger 4,000 years ago that we celebrate yearly. Paul tells us in Corinthians, it's because in this baby we find the goal of the ages in God's plan of redemption and salvation in this one mediator. It is the gospel of his Son, Christ Jesus. So the question comes up then, how may we know this mediator? How are we to conceive that this is true? Well, different ways has happened. One in particular that stands out in my mind is that hothead renegade, the Apostle Paul. He was convinced of this in a rather dramatic way on the road to Damascus, if you remember. Paul, like many people today, could not admit that this baby Jesus was who he later claimed to be. He would not admit that Peter and Stephen could be right, or that Jesus of Nazareth could be the Messiah, Israel's Messiah. He learned the hard way, as so many people do, when in a flash of a light, in a burst of a thunder, God flung him to the ground while on his road to Damascus. There he was in agonizing pain and struggle as to the supremacy of this baby Jesus, Christ Jesus. It ended in that awful moment when he had seen the baby that had become no more a baby, but Christ Jesus. Not Jesus Christ, not the humble one who would humble, who would become victorious, but rather the victorious one who was once humble. There, Paul rose up from the ground, another man. He had been Saul, and he became Paul. He had fallen in death. He rose up in life. He fell in things temporal. He rose up in things eternal. He fell a proud, intolerant persecutor and murderer. He rose up a humble, penitent Christian. In one moment, he was changed from a raging idiot Pharisee into a true disciple of this baby Jesus in the cradle, Christ. But that's dramatic. Not everyone has that experience. So how about us? How can we know the truth with regard to this child? Is it crucial? Because Christ asks the question. Yes, it's crucial. He says, "Whom say ye that I am?" Well, there are several ways, as I said, to investigate this, to find out what do we know about this child in the manger 4,000 years ago. How do we figure out his supremacy, who he was, who he is? Well, history tells us there was this person, that's for sure. Secular writers like Josephus and others. There's even legend with regard to this baby that he was born, that he worshiped, that he lived, that he was killed on a cross. It's fact that he was resurrected from the dead. There was over 500 people that testified to this in history. Archaeologists, for example, is another way. They have yet to dig up anything in conflict with this historical baby in the manger. In fact, the opposite is true. It only bears credence to who Christ Jesus really was. Of course, faith has a part of it. By hearing the word of God, which is given to us, in this magnificent record that Dave read from. This is really the ultimate way to determine who was this baby in the manger, and we'll look at this more this morning. There's a lot of other ways, of course, the stars. We've studied the stars, the names of the stars, the positions of the stars, and so forth. It's there, it cannot be changed, but most people take no time to understand it or to look at it. But as I said, the main evidence is prophecy. Things that are written in the Hebrew Bible thousands of years before the actual event lend credence and proof to who this baby Jesus was that we celebrate every year. Later, he became known, of course, Christ Jesus, crucified, buried, resurrected, and claiming to be God himself. So, our subject, prophecies relative to a baby in a manger. There are many. There are a lot of them. We will cover the major ones, but the first one is the one that is most often, or always probably, overlooked, and that is that he will come. Which one is that? You got any ideas? Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Prophecy that he will come. Chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Here, 4,000 years before the manger, notice the word it. In the Hebrew, it's zer, Z-E-R, in the Hebrew. It's singular. That refers to this baby in a manger, some 4,000 years prior to the actual event. Now, this can be a whole study in itself. We could spend all morning on this one prophecy. And for those of you who would like to maybe go a little bit further, you want to look in Genesis chapter 17, verse 7, Genesis chapter 21, verse 12, and you'll see that this word zer, it, refers, is singular and refers forward. And we'll see it even includes Isaac from where the bloodline came through. Another one is when that he would come. In the 49th chapter of Genesis, this is another one that we could spend a whole Sunday morning on. It can be determined that it would be when Judah was at peace, governed by their own king, Herod, but under the power of the Roman Empire 4,000 years before. That's a difficult study, and like I said, we can't spend all morning on it this morning because there's so many others that I want to look at. But those first two there are found in the book of Genesis a long time before it happened. We find prophecy that he descended from the first woman and that his descent would be from Abraham, Isaac, and that's the zer, it, singular, seed. One seed would come through. Then Jacob, Judah, David, etc., confirmed by the scripture to be true in the book of Acts. History also confirms the prophecy thousands of years beforehand. It's prophesied that he would be born of a virgin, prophesied by Isaiah 625 years before the birth. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, that his friends would forsake him. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, he was to be dumb before his accusers. Psalms chapter 22, verse 16, that his hands and his feet would be pierced. Exodus chapter 12, verse 46, that no bones would be broken. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12, that he would be crucified among thieves. In that same verse, Isaiah 53, 12, he would pray for his persecutors. Psalms 22, verses 7 and 8, he would be ridiculed. Psalms 22, 1, the cry from the cross 900 years before it happened. Psalm 69, 21, that he would be given gall and vinegar 900 years prior. Zechariah 12, 10, that he was to be pierced. That was 410 years before he was crucified. Psalms 22, 14, that his heart was to be broken. Isaiah 53, 9, that he would be buried in a rich man's tomb. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, where he would be born, prophesied by Micah 630 years before. Where? Bethlehem, Ephrathah. The exact manger in Micah chapter 4, verse 8, and we've studied this, the Tower of Adar, or the Tower of the Flock. The shepherds just didn't run around looking at all these mangers to see if there was a baby. They knew exactly what manger it was. It was the Tower of Adar, the Tower of the Flock. It's where they raised the perfect lambs for sacrifice in the temple. And it's only appropriate that the Son of God, the Lamb without blemish, would be born in that manger, the Tower of Adar. There weren't any cows, pigs, and so forth. There were only sheep there. Maybe the donkey that Mary rode. The exact manger, 630 years, the Tower of the Flock. You can read about it there in Micah. Prophesied that the Messiah himself would be a prophet. Moses in Deuteronomy, 1,550 years before, and we looked at that when we studied the parables there in the New Testament. It's prophesied that there would be a forerunner, and that forerunner we know turns out to be John Baptist. You read about that in Malachi and Isaiah. Hundreds of years before. It's prophesied that he would bring good news, the gospel, the great light unto the people, Isaiah, 625 years beforehand. It's prophesied that he would do great miracles. We read about that in Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 and 6. The eyes of the blind were healed. The deaf hear, the lame walk, the dumb speak and sing, 625 years beforehand. It's prophesied how he would enter Jerusalem, in Zechariah 500 years beforehand on a lowly ass. It's prophesied that he would be poor and despised. In Isaiah, rejected, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. Prophesied there that he would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. How did that be? Could be 500 years, the exact amount? Must not have been inflation in those days if it stayed that way for 500 years, 30 pieces of silver. It's unbelievable. It's prophesied there in Isaiah that his hands would be pierced and his feet would be pierced, spat upon, bruised, stricken, beaten. It's prophesied that he would suffer pain and death for the sins of the world. David, 970 years before, prophesied that he would be mocked and derided. 970 years by David, that he would be given vinegar and gall and crucified. Also, David prophesied that not a bone would be broken and that his side would be pierced. There were more than one that said that. And by the way, those prophets didn't know one another. They weren't collaborating back and forth by email. They were being fed by the Holy Spirit to write these things. And this is what adds credence, that all of this is said hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years prior to the event itself. The place that he would suffer, by whom he was to suffer, was prophesied. That he would die with malefactors, but buried by a rich man 500 years before. By the way, I'm using 500 years. It comes down to even numbers, odd numbers, 502 years, 501 years. You can actually get closer than just a round number of 500 years. It was prophesied 900 years that he would rise from the dead, and that he would send the Holy Spirit as a comforter. It was prophesied. Joel had a lot of things to say. We're undated. We don't even know how far back that was. Prophesied that he would be a teacher. Well, he was. He was a rabbi. That he would instruct and enlighten man. Well, that's still today. I don't know about you, but I'm being enlightened by what this man, Christ Jesus, has done. And through him, what God has planned for us for the ages. Prophesied that he would be anointed of God, which we read in the New Testament that he was. It's prophesied that he would be a priest. Christ would be, not Jesus, Christ, upon his victory. That he would offer himself a sacrifice. That he would be a savior, a mediator, and an intercessor. He would be referred to as a shepherd. King, and of course that's yet future to be fulfilled. One day when the millennial kingdom is set up, he will be king. That actually, if you remember, is the meaning of a kingdom. The king dominates. He is prophesied to be king. And exalted after his suffering, and that is yet future. That he would be betrayed by one disciple was prophesied, that the others would forsake him, that Peter would deny him. The question comes up then, with all of this evidence, how could Israel miss their Messiah? It seems that they ought to say, wow, there he is. This baby in the manger. And the same thing is true today. With all of this information, how could a person miss who this baby is that we worship yearly? They missed him then, and they miss him today the same way. They do not know what the scripture says. Here's the evidence. The prophets told us everything that's been said in here about him has come to be. And yet, you show this to people, and I've likened it to showing somebody a nice, big, round, warm, juicy donut, you know, and all they see is the hole. They miss it because they do not know. Israel did not know. They missed him because they didn't know their scripture. They were at peace. That's part of the problem. If you go back and study Genesis 49 on 10 on your own, you'll find out that they were at peace, they were fat, they were prosperous, they were happy. Maybe the only time in the history of Israel that that may have been true, but that's when it prophesied that he would come. They were ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. So the most important question in your life and my life, who do you say that he was and that he is? Turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. John makes it pretty plain. He says there in chapter 5, verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son, this baby in a manger. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. That's the record that we were looking at. 40 different scriptures with regard to who Christ Jesus was. And this is a record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. That's the gospel of God, the Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God, the baby Jesus in a manger. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us, and we are grateful for what you've provided in your Son, Christ Jesus. I just pray here that we all may continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of that baby Jesus, and that we all will be rooted and grounded to one another in your love. For it's in Christ Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.